Amen. Verse 6, and I saw another angel fly. Thank you, sir, for turning me up there just a little bit, or I got closer to the mic or something. I don't know what happened, but I thought maybe you might have turned me up. Praise God. Most people, when I get to preaching, turn me down. And I get to preaching, and I want to go back up to where I was a while ago. You know, you can't get any higher than turn me up or down. Praise the Lord. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on earth, and them that dwell on the earth, unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. You may be seated. I'm not going to bore everybody to death tonight with 120 current events proving that we're in the last days. You either believe that fact or you don't. And I doubt if anybody could convince you. I was reading the other day in a newspaper, and they were talking about the big three motor companies in the United States. And the writer of the article said, GM and Chrysler and Ford, they seen the dooming avalanche approaching. And he said what they did was hit the accelerator. Well, I wonder tonight if we're not going to be much like them. Amen. We see all the signs. We see all the trouble looming. Amen. If we're going to hit the accelerator or put on the brakes. Amen. Now, in this 14th chapter of the book of Revelations, amen, God starts out, he said, and I saw another angel fly in heaven having the everlasting gospel to preach. Now, I heard a Pentecostal preacher get up and preach. He said, that is why we need to back those PTL satellites. He said, because that is the angel flying through the heaven preaching the everlasting gospel. Beg your pardon. Beg your pardon. Amen. Praise God. No. I really believe that the judgment is going to be so severe on the population of the earth that God actually sends an angel from heaven, amen, to preach, amen, to the people that are on earth. Now, I tell you something. It's got to be mighty strong, and it is the mercy of God, amen, in the first place, but it's got to be mighty strong, amen, for God to send an angel to preach the gospel to them that dwell on the earth. Huh? After thousands of years of men are preaching it, amen, everywhere, every church, every corner of the earth, and all of a sudden God has to send an angel to preach. That's worth thinking about, isn't it? Amen. And then the second angel, he preaches and says, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Somebody said the other night when I got through preaching Wednesday night in the back of the church, a young lady made the statement. She said, I'm going to go home and get me some drugs and get a hold of God. Not so, my friend. No. You're going to get a hold of some devil. But then this third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Now here's what I've sort of thought in the back of my mind in my earlier years. I've heard people say, you know, we're going to know when tomorrow. I don't have time. I'm not preaching nothing about the rapture or anything like that tonight. That's not my message tonight. Hey, man, I could, but I don't have enough time. But here's what in my early years, here's what I thought was going to happen. When people, and I've heard numerous people say, when I see the mark of the beast coming, I am going to get my act together. Yeah. Huh? Amen. I've always had visions of them, you know, especially when I was a young Christian, stockpiling food, starving to death or going to drastic measures like that if they could, amen, to keep from taking the mark of the beast. But that's not it at all. And in fact, amen, this world is so rebellious. And this world is such in a chaotic condition. Amen, that when the Antichrist steps out and he introduces his mark, amen, and those that take it worship, amen, the beast, amen, people are not going to be afraid of that. They are actually going to run and rush to take the mark of the beast. And the reason, amen, God, I tell you, God didn't like it. Amen. And the reason he didn't like it, he went such depths to warn them. He sent an angel to preach the gospel and to warn them, if you take the mark of the beast, you're damned forever. Huh? Glory to God. Amen. That's it. Amen. Well, you damn your soul to hell when you receive the mark of the beast. Now let me say this right here. We are facing some of the most serious times that's ever been on the face of the earth. Huh? You kids tonight, you children tonight are very innocent. But what's it going to be a few years from now if gasoline is $4 a gallon now? Huh? Groceries, amen. What is the cost of food? And I'll tell you what. I'll tell you exactly what's happening. Amen. This world and this nation is being groomed for the end. Huh? Oh, God. You hear that apocalyptic writer, as he says, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. Amen. By God, in Revelation chapter 1, amen, you see the Christ, amen, with the stars, amen, the seven stars in his hand, amen, standing there, amen, with those ministers of flaming stars in chapter 2 and chapter 3. Amen. You see the churches, amen, his last letters to the seven churches in chapter 4. Amen. You see the four beasts and the 420 elders around the throne in chapter 5. Amen. You see John a-weeping because nobody was worthy, amen, to loose the seals and read the book thereof in chapter 6. Amen. You have the start of the tribulation period in chapter 7. Amen. Oh, God. Amen. You have the 144,000 Jews, amen, that are going to bring revival over the world. I call them 144,000 Pauls. Amen. Because after that, you see a group that no man could number. Amen. Standing before the throne of God. Woo! God help us tonight. But in the 13th chapter, this beast rises. This beast rises out of the sea. And he is the Antichrist. Amen. And he wants exactly what Brother Savage preached about this afternoon. He wants the worship of the whole earth. Amen. The Bible says The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. That's what I want to preach on for a few minutes tonight. The cup of his indignation. God, after sending those angels to preach the everlasting gospel, becomes indignant. Huh? Amen. God becomes indignant. And you know why God becomes indignant? God becomes indignant because they knew better. Oh, hey, they knew better! My God, I'm going to tell you something. You may wind up in hell. Amen. You may worship the Antichrist someday. Amen. But it's not because you did not know better. You cannot say in the last days of time, I did not know. Hallelujah. My God, you know. You are warned time and time again. You're going to hell with the floodlights on. You hear me? I said you're going to hell with the floodlights on. Amen. Amen. God becomes indignant because they knew better. Amen. That's where we're at tonight. Amen. Had very few people living in the realm of anywhere that they know that they ought to. Huh? We had a girl back home. She forged checks and got credit cards off of the internet. And she finally got caught. She ran up about $8,000 on one credit card. And she was in a holiness church. Amen. Went to holiness church practically all of her life. Amen. And the old judge got her up before his podium. And he said, listen. The judge said, you have a habit of not hearing what you don't like. Amen. He said, listen, you had better listen to me, young lady. He said, because if you break the rules, amen, of probation, I am sending you to penitentiary. Oh, God, listen to me tonight. Amen. You had better listen. You have a habit of only hearing what you want to. Oh, God, does that not describe, amen, the average church tonight? Amen, in the holiness movement. You only listen to what you want to, but not what you need to. Oh, God, amen. We have come to a time. We do not respect preaching. We do not respect the Word of God. We live in an age when people pick and choose. Huh? Pick and choose. God, I'll tell you. You're talking about a curse tonight on a nation. Amen. But I want to tell you, you can do ever what you want to do about it. Amen. But I want to preach to you tonight. Amen. You cannot say when it is all over, you did not know. Brethren, I pray tonight, my prayer tonight is every preacher here is a holiness preacher. I pray every one of you believe in preaching holiness. I do not believe in lifestyle evangelism. What's that, Brother Mike? Where the preacher and his wife just live good, but the old preacher, when he gets up, he never says nothing to rock the boat. When my people in my church die, amen, I want them to go before the judgment. Amen. And let me tell you, this is one reason why we need to preach holiness. Amen. It's because after they die, God can bring them in to perfect judgment. Amen. Because, amen, they knew better. God, you knew better. I had a friend of mine, Brother Ronnie, and I loved him. I loved him. I did. I dearly loved this man. Jackie Parks. I love Jackie. He come up here and preach for y'all. He preached for you. Amen. Preach for you, other brother. Oh, Jackie, I love him. He could leap. He could leap tall pulpits in a single bound. I mean, jump over top of them. He got up at the Richland's Tabernacle, stood up on top of their pulpit, and it's probably four, their rostrum probably 4 feet high. And then you got to put another 4 feet on the pulpit. He stood up on top of that pulpit. He swung himself out in the air like Tarzan or Superman. Amen. He landed down the front aisles on both feet and come up a preaching. And old Jackie was all the time a fasting and fasting. Said he was. Anyway, that's what he told us. He was fasting. He was fasting all the time. And so he come two or three times. I got a little bit cautious of him. And one Sunday I called him. He'd squirmed out a couple of more times. But one Sunday I said, Jackie, I said, let's go and pray for the service tonight. And so we went into the old prayer closet and got down there praying. And it wasn't over 10 minutes he was up and had to go to the bathroom and never came back. So it went on. I done it the second time. Old Jackie couldn't pray. I knowed he couldn't pray the second time. And he went on the third time. And Jackie was not praying. And finally, the next time he come to my house, I said, now Jackie, I said, now listen, son. I said, I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you. And he said, why, Brother Mike? You know, he just laugh everything off and joke everything off. Amen. Never serious a moment in his life. Amen. Just laughed it off. Amen. But the third time, I warned him three times. And I said, Jackie, you're not praying enough. And I want to preach tonight. Amen, brethren. Amen. Preachers continue to fall this year. Amen. Yes, sir. I said preachers are continuing to fall this year. And I'm going to tell you why. They are preachers, but they are not men of prayer. Amen. And listen to me tonight, brethren. Amen. It is your defense, amen, to become a man of prayer. There would never be another preacher fall if they became men of prayer. You take your frontline defense down when you become just a preacher of sermons, amen, instead of a man of prayer. Now, I want to talk to you parents a little bit. It's one of the most difficult ages to raise children that there ever was. Huh? Amen. And God, I felt like in prayer, God spoke to me and told me to tell you parents something, especially you that are raising a family. If you want to see your child in heaven, you teach them how to pray. Yeah, that's not profound. It's just a warning. Amen. It's just a warning. Oh, God, listen to me, parents. Listen to me, moms and dads. Amen. Don't you dare let that child grow up in your home and leave your house, amen, and you have never made them children a prayer. Oh, listen to me tonight. Amen. It's a trap. I said, it's a trap. You know what the number one sin in America is tonight? What do you think it is? Huh? Drugs? No. I'm going to tell you what the number one is. Sex. That's the number one sin in America tonight. That's the number one sin most of the preachers are falling for. Is that, amen? God, I hate to say it. I hate to say the word in front of all these children here tonight. Amen. But I want to preach to you tonight. And you know I'm telling you the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. Amen. I refuse, amen, glory to God, to take a chance on my kids' lives. Hey, listen. They're talking it everywhere. Amen. In the public school system. Amen. It's bad. It's bad, I'm telling you. Amen. These people out there that are going to exploit, amen, yourselves are going to exploit the children of God. Amen. Brother, if they can find that you're a pure person, they want to drag you down into the muck and the muck, amen, glory to God, and the sins of this world. Little girls, young ladies tonight that are in this camp meeting, God, listen to me. If you'll pray, God will deliver you from this world. Huh? Yeah, He'll deliver you. He'll deliver the preacher. Oh, I read this the other day. It was this psychiatrist, if there is such a thing, a Christian psychiatrist. He said he was. Said he believed in the Bible. And he'd been taking young couples and doing marriage counseling for over 51 years. And he said, my peers say that I am the best marriage counselor in America. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, I have entertained thousands of married couples. And he said, many, many times, I have delivered them from marriage and divorce. Amen. But he said, I want to tell you something here. He said, I want in this book, he said, I want to reach out and touch as many people as I can. He said, not one time in 51 years of marriage counsel, he said, have I ever seen a couple divorce that prayed together? God, amen. The weak link in our chain is tonight that we forgot to pray. The weak link in a chain of a ministry tonight is you forgot to pray. The weak link, amen, over America tonight is our families don't pray together. They do not pray together. When I was a kid, I was raised up a sinner. And I never went to church till I was 19. But I'll tell you something. My mama made us always do. And we eat dinner or supper together. We never had one out of mowing the grass, one out on a four-wheeler. Of course, they didn't have four-wheelers when I was growing up. God have mercy. But you know what? What was sacred to mama is that every one of us sit down at the same time and we eat. And that is almost an unheard of custom in America today. Yeah. Amen. The devil knows how to split homes and families up. Yes, he does. Amen. And if you'll be honest with me tonight, I wonder how many families here that it's a sacred thing with you that you pray together. Huh? You say, I'm too busy. I don't like to pray with nobody. Oh, Lord, you ain't nothing but fodder for hell. Well, other night we had Abigail over to house. The grandkids are jealous of one another, and they all want to see who can stay at Mama Granny Deb's and Papa Mike's. And Abigail come over there, and we just got her talking. I love to hear her talk. Smart kid, you know. Got a mind of her own. She just tells it just like it is. And so we've been getting Jordan to come down. And as she come up to me and she said, Papa, I want to know something. I said, what's that to Abigail? She said, how come you didn't ask for me to come down? She said, I'm going to tell you something right now. She said, that hurts my feelings. Treat me. I mean, she treat me. Praise God. Oh, God. And we went on got to talking to her more. And she said, "Papa," she said, "do you know what we do every morning?" I said, "What's that?" She said, "I'm usually the first one up." And she said, "Mama takes me straight to the living room, and I got to hit my knees." And she said, "After a while, Autumn will get up." And she said, "We'll go get Autumn and get her dressed." And you know what Mommy does with me then? I said, "I know." She said, "She takes me straight back to the couch in the living room and makes me and Autumn both pray." And then she said, "Jordan is usually the third one up." And she said, "We'll go in there and dress him." And she said, "You know what we got to do then? All three of us have got to go back in there in the living room and pray." How many of you mothers don't have time? Huh? Amen. How many of you just do not have time to pray? You may plead, amen, insanity, but you are never going to plead innocence, amen. You knew better, my God. Oh, John R. Rice said, he said, if you want to stop crime, he said, quit raising criminals. Glory, listen to me tonight. Amen. We're bringing it on ourselves by a lack of consecration and a lack of dedication. We're bringing this on ourselves. Amen. You. God have mercy tonight. Woo! You chose to keep that TV, didn't you? You chose to keep it, didn't you? Huh? We eat, Brent, dinner at that Chinese place. We've got a hook in one of them little Chinese women there. Got a hook in her. She wouldn't come to Sunday school last Sunday. And I knocked on the door and they was all asleep. And just like a commune. They was in a living room floor, all asleep. And the lady that owns the place wouldn't get up and answer the door. But we got a hook in her jaw. But anyway, the lady that runs that Chinese restaurant, she looked at my wife and she said, "No, no, no." She said, "No, no, no." She said, "Not my kids." She said, "Do you all watch TV?" And I said, "No." Deb said, "No. We don't have a television." She said, "Good." She said, "No, no, no, not my kids. My kids not watch TV." She said, "Do you go up?" The James H. Drew Fair was in town. She said, "Do you let your kids go up there and ride like that?" And she said, "No, no, no, not my children. No, no, no." And I told her, I said, "When we were raising our children, we never took them up there." And I had an old boy I worked with by the name of Jed, and he was Assembly of God Sunday school teacher. And he told me, he said, one day we were eating dinner, and he said, I thought about giving up TV a time or two. And he said, especially one time, he said, I was one Saturday night sitting at the kitchen table getting ready to teach my Sunday school class the next day. And he said that television was a blur, and it was I was just getting disorganized with it. And he said, I said, "God, if that television is wrong, blow it up." And he said, "I never got the word up out of my mouth till it exploded right there on the stand." I said, "Jed, that's pretty good." I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Well, Monday," he said, "I went and bought me another one." That's what you did, didn't it? Huh? God have mercy. God have mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing. Amen. He will. Listen, when your kids is running wild. Oh, God, we had a preacher years ago come to Richlands camp meeting. And he had, before he came to that camp meeting, one of his saints jumped on him bad. And his girl had become a mother without a legal father. So what do you do when something like that's happening? Your girl gets in trouble. What do? You go jump on the preacher. That's what you do. So he went and jumped on the preacher. And he told that preacher, he said, listen. He said, I brought my girl here to Sunday school ever since she was a baby. And now, look what's happened to her. Now, it's your fault. No preacher looked back at him and said, listen. He said, I'm going to tell you how your girl got like that. He said, you paid for it. And he said, how? He said, you see that little black box in your living room? He said, you're the one that bought and paid for that. God have mercy. She said, that's where she found out how to get with child. Amen. You bought it for and set it in your living room. Amen. I tell you something. One of the vehicles, amen, to take a child's mind away from it is television. Yeah. And now, by God, by God, listen, oh yeah, I'm going to tighten her on down right here. Listen to me, parents, how can a kid this old right here afford a cell phone? Huh? How old are you, sis? Huh? 12. You're at least 4 years from getting a job. Huh? Maybe 5. You're lazy, 6 or 7. Go ahead, come on here now. Let me tell you something. You're going to think I'm nuts. But that cell phone that kid carries with it day and night. We had a kid home in church, had 5,000 text messages on its cell phone. Now today, that's a bad land right there. Come on here now, church. Amen. I want to protect the mind and the purity of these kids in this tabernacle tonight. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's a Herculean task to do it. Listen to me now. This one girl took over 300 camera videos of herself and texted them all to her boyfriend that was in church. Did you hear that? Huh? Oh, I'm going to tell you something. If I was you and I walked by that door and that door was locked, what are they doing in there that they got to lock the door? Huh? You know, Brother Ricky, I wanted to look up a scripture today, and I went in your office. I didn't close that door when I went in there. I left that door completely wide open. So if anybody come over there, the first thing they could do was see what I was doing. Huh? It's just a matter of honesty with me. I think about stuff like that. Praise God. Maybe other preachers don't, but I do. Amen. Huh? I would want to know, what are they doing in there with that door locked? Huh? Amen. If my child had a cell phone, I'd want to know what was on that thing. Huh? Come on here now. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Hey, it's a disaster in some homes. All is going on. And I'll tell you what, if we stood before the Lord, you know, I preached a while back on 4 looks towards Sodom. The Bible says that God looked, Abraham looked, Lot looked, and Lot's wife looked. And I said, the look we need is the look of Abraham. Amen. He stood in his place of prayer before the Lord. Amen. And looked towards Sodom. Amen. That, hey, I tell you something. Ain't no getting away from it. It's everywhere. 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 God have mercy tonight. And you, what is going to bring the wrath of God down upon America? And we are going to drink from the wrath of the wine of the cup of his indignation. Because we have closed our ears to preaching. We have closed our ears to preaching. Amen. And we know better. Huh? Brother Brent was preaching up here the other evening, Wednesday evening, and he got to telling about Joseph's encounter with Potiphar's wife. You got to preaching so good about that. And over in the New Testament, you know what the Bible said? Flee. 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 Flee fornication. Run from it. Shun the appearance of evil. God, I tell you tonight, we're not doing that. Amen. I'm going to tell you when it's all over, you cannot say you did not know. Last year in the NW Railroad, there was 3,446 accidents at railroad crossings. 3,446 vehicles in America tried to beat the train to the crossing. You know what the engineer told the paper, from Amtrak told the paper? He said, you know the tragedy of all this? He said, every one of them knew better. R.B. Girdlestone was a Greek scholar, and he knew the Greek language as good as any man in the world. He wrote books on the Greek language. And in his synonyms of the Old Testament, Girdlestone said there's 10 different words translated sin in the Bible. The one we mostly use is hamartia, which means missing the mark. It's a bullseye over there, and we're shooting at it. We're missing the mark. That's what sin is. It's always missing the mark. But the one that intrigues me more than any one of them is a Greek word meaning you could have known. In other words, it's a sin not to know, but you chose not to know. Amen. You chose not to know. When you miss Wednesday night prayer meeting, you choose not to know what the preacher's preaching. Huh? When Sunday comes up and you go around boating and fishing and visiting the relatives and stuff like that, and just what I call jolly hopping, amen, you choose not to know what was going on in church that Sunday. Amen. You chose not to know. Sin is you could have known, but you decided you did not want to know. So you laid out and you missed. And you didn't hear it right. God, amen. But I want to tell you something tonight. If you go on and face the Antichrist, when you finally reach hell, you cannot say you did not know. Huh? Oh, God. I'm on. Brent, the other day, me and Sister Debbie decided to go over to West Virginia to help Brother Stevens and them build that home. And we went over and I said, hey, sweetheart, I said, everybody in the world has asked us how much our church cost us. And I said, it's crazy for us not to know. So we piled all the stuff inside that little green Honda we got. And Deborah got over on its, got it over on her side of the Honda. And I drove. And so she counted it all up. We got almost across the West Virginia line, over into West Virginia, going down the hill, and she had it all counted up. And she said, honey, she said, here it is, the grand total. Now, Brent, I want to ask you, how much cash money did we spend building that church? How much? Huh? I want you to guess. We spent building that church. We spent $540,000 building that church. Now, if you're from Manassas or D.C., the capital out here, that probably ain't much money. But when you are from Amanata, Virginia, amen, half white and half black, that is a lot of taters. Woo! Glory to God. Huh? Yeah. Boy. Before we started building that church one Sunday morning, Travis got up all excited and he said, "Who in the world would ever know that we're going to build a church up here on a hill and build a $250,000 church up here on a hill?" And that hit me what he was saying, that we was going to spend $250,000 up here, and I almost got sick and fell out on the floor. Over $250,000. Yeah. God. Huh? I mean, you know, just a handful of people. No rich people in that church. One old boy might do pretty good someday if he can live another 20 years, praise God. But I'm telling you, he don't have $5 million. He's $5 million in debt, praise God. Oh, glory to God. So, we built. We put $540,000 cash in that church. Now, how much do you think was given to us? Cash money. Now, Mr. Marquis, we're going to come back for another guess here, another answer. I want to know how, this is a question, sir. How much cash money did people give you on that church, Brother Mike? $300. We had $260,000 give to us on that church. If you're from out here at Manassas or the capital or somewhere, that ain't much money. But when you're from Amanata, Virginia, that's a pile of cash. $260,000 give to us cash money. They got it valued. We got it insured at $1.5 million. We got that building insured for $1.5 million. Amen. That's what the banker come up and people come up from the bank and said it was worth. God, I'm telling you something tonight. There's never been a time in this world to work for God like it is tonight. Huh? Never. And I just said that. By God, we can't quit giving just because things is tight. Hey, man, we got to go. I'll tell you one thing. Me and Sister Debbie both said, that church may die, but it ain't going to die on our watch. Not on my watch. Praise God. Glory to God. Not while I'm down there. Not while I'm pastor. You know what I did? I got up in front of the whole church and I told the whole church, I said, if anybody has to lose their home over building this church, it'll be me. I'll lose first. Amen. I'll lose first. I said, you'll not lose a dime of your personal wealth by helping me build this church. I said, I'll stand for it all. And here's how I set my debt. I set a debt limit of $160,000. And this is why. I knowed if everybody spit in my face and walked out that back door, I could pay that $160,000 off and go on down the road. And really, this is why I felt about it. If I had to sell my house, my church is 12,000 square feet. I traded a 2,800 for 12,000. I go down there and live. Huh? Praise God. Is that all right? That's the way I looked at it. No, I don't have $160,000, but I am worth $160,000. I've got assets that'll bring $160,000. So you see, I wasn't afraid if people kicked on it. I didn't care because I was determined with every fiber of my soul I was going to build that church up on that hill. And go on for God. I built it for my grandchildren. I built it to last for generations to come. They can have church. And if I'll live just a little while longer, we owe right now, a guy come up the other day and give me $2,250. 2,250 shares of bank stock, New People's Bank, for $34,000. That ain't bad, is it? That one guy left my church, come back, and he's sitting down about halfway, and he said, "Boy, I reckon y'all, all y'all got to put out to pay for this thing, ain't you?" He didn't know I done had it made, got it made in the shade. No way. Amen. If I sell that bank stock, I'll have her paid down. I ain't debt but $100,000. I can pay that off by myself if I have to. You just got to get rough with the devil. Amen. Stand to your feet. Tell you tonight, church, his church is the greatest thing going. God, I wouldn't have nothing. I wouldn't have clothes to put on if it hadn't been for the church. God saving my soul. Lord, it means everything to me tonight. I wanted to preach these young people tonight and tell them, my God, stay pure. Man, if you think it's going to cost you some heartache and defile your heart and life, stay away from it. Oh, stay away from it. Because it's out there, and everybody that's leaning that way is going to be taken up. Amen. They are going to fall in to some kind of sin here in this last day. If you're leaning that way and you're looking that way, just like Lot look towards Sodom, you're going to find it. You're going to be in big trouble. The church tonight, you're not going to be able to say, man, I didn't know. I didn't know. You know. You did know. And but God is going to become indignant with America just because of that tonight. Ever head bowed, no one looking around. Please help me now, Jesus. Listen. Listen, young girl. Oh, God. If you're out there tonight, I'll tell you what I want to do. Tell you what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to come up for this altar and say, I am going to keep myself pure. Would there be one girl here tonight in the midst of all of this corruption? You dedicate your heart and life and say, for me, I'm going to stay pure. I ain't going to let the kids down the road or in the Christian school or nowhere else corrupt my life. I'm going to stay pure for God. Would there be some more come right now? Would there be some more? Thank God, girls. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm not going to run with a pack. I'm not going to be influenced by them. Let them laugh. I'm going to dedicate myself to God tonight. Woo! Thank God. Come on, girls. Amen. If you're here tonight, by your coming, you're saying, I'm going to dedicate my soul to God. I'm going to stay pure. Hey! Hey, listen. Listen, young ladies. Listen. You're back there tonight. You're just going to be the devil's plaything if you don't give your heart to holiness. There's more of you back there tonight. God have mercy. Why don't you come and say, Brother Mike, I'm going to dedicate my life to God. I'm going to be pure when I get married. Come on. Hey, parents, I've never been more serious in my life. I've never been more serious in my life. Will you covenant with me tonight? Listen to me. Will you covenant with me tonight? You and your husband. And say, from this night forward, we are going to make our house and our home a home of prayer. Are there any back there tonight? Mama, daddy, you'll get a hold of her, or she'll get a hold of your hand and come down this aisle and say, things are going to be different around our house from now on. Would you come? Anybody? We're not going to leave our marriage to chance. We're going to make it a home of prayer. We are going to pray with our children. Would you do it tonight? Come on. Come on. Son, you never know. You'll never know what you're doing right now. Bringing that wife and you say, my God, we're going to turn this house around. We are going to give ourselves to prayer. Come on. We're not going to be trapped into something, amen, to waylay and wreck our marriage. Woo! Hey, listen to me tonight. Listen to me. Listen to me. When you and your wife, all you do is fuss, amen, and stay in it from the time you get up in the morning, amen, till you go to bed at night, your marriage is headed for trouble! Why don't you say, my God, it's stopping right here. We're coming up this altar. And from now on, this house is going to be a home of prayer. Would you come? Come on. Hey. Hey. Me and Mama started fussing just a little bit lately, and it's getting out of hand. I say it's getting out of hand. You want to be the head of the house? Why don't you grab her by the hand and say, honey, I'm going to fall back in love with you. I'm going to come up here to this altar, and we are going to rededicate our homes in the eyes of God. Why don't you come? Come on!
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Would it be another one?
Hallelujah.
Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Look at all these that are up here. Oh, God. This is my firm conviction. If you don't make your home a home of prayer, you ain't going to have no home to pray in. Would you come? Come on, young couples. Come on. Come on, my God. My God, be a man. Grab that woman by the hand and come up here to this altar and say, I mean business with God, preacher. Come on. Come on now. Right now. It was an unheard of thing in the Holiness Church in times past. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of new weddings and churches, those couples aren't lasting 1 year together. Come on. I refuse to believe what I'm seeing right now. God. All right. All right, let's pray. Go ahead. Come on. Let's come and pray, everybody. Sing, honey.
Help me bring my family home to you. It's been so long. Help me be strong, Lord. I've preached the message of the gospel that is true. Now help me bring my family home to you.
Oh, come on. How about it, you young boys back here tonight? Have you kept yourself pure? Are you dancing with the devil tonight?
Bring my family
home
to
you. Listen! You're fooling around with something bigger than you are. Come on!
Be strong, Lord.
Oh, God.
I preach the message of the gospel that is true. Now help me bring my family home to you.
What about a young man? What about a young man? You're in this tabernacle tonight.
Bring my family.
Oh, God, you've not stayed pure. Come on!
It's been so long. Help me be strong, Lord. I preach the message of the gospel that is true. Now help me bring my family home to you. Oh, help me bring my family home to you. It's been so long. Help me be strong, Lord. I preach the message of the gospel that is true. Now help me bring my family home to you. Noah preached the word of God 120 years without a massive altar call or shedding lots of tears. When it seemed that all was hopeless, Jesus, and no one would be saved. Noah led his family in the ark, and I can hear him say, help me bring my family home to you. It's been so long. Help me be strong, Lord. I preach the message of the gospel that is true. Help me bring my family home to you. Oh, help me bring my family home to you. It's been so long. Help me be strong, Lord. I preach the message of the gospel that is true. Now help me bring my family home to you. So many times we try so hard to win the world at once, turning circles, spinning wheels without a comfort wand. What if I should gain the world and lose my family? When I stand before the Lord that day, I want them there with me. Help me bring my family home to you. It's been so long. Help me be strong, Lord. I preach the message of the gospel that is true. Now help me bring my family home to you. Oh, help me bring my family home to you. It's been so long. Help me be strong, Lord. I preach the message of the gospel that is true. Now help me bring my family home to you. Noah preached the word of God 120 years. Without a massive altar call or shedding lots of tears. When it seemed that all was hopeless, no one could be saved. Noah led his family in the ark, and I can hear him say, help me bring my family home to you. It's been so long. Be strong, Lord. I preach the message of the gospel that is true. Now help me bring my family home to you. Oh, help me bring my family home to you. It's been so long. Help me be strong, Lord. I've preach the message of the gospel that is true. Now help me bring my family home to you. Oh, help me bring my family home to you. It's been so long. Help me be strong, Lord. I preach the message of the gospel that is true. Help me bring my family home to you. So many times we try so hard to win the world at once, turning circles, spinning wheels without a comfort wand. What if I should gain the world, lose my family? When I stand before the Lord the day, I want Him there with me. Help me bring my family home to you. It's been so long. Help me be strong, Lord. I preach the message of the gospel that is true. Help me bring my family home.